Welcome to Ant Slate.
We back.
Welcome. Welcome.
I was in Singapore and Cork didn't even meet with me.
I told you to come to the thing.
He has a newborn.
I have a newborn and I told you to come to the thing.
I was literally a block away from his apartment having dinner the night I arrived.
I know, but I saw it the next day. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I wish I joined you.
It was very good chicken rice.
I love that place. So how was Suga? Was he great?
Yeah, it's surprisingly very, very good. He's not my bias. I don't even know why I went. I was telling my friends, he's not even my bias, but I'm here.
Pero bakit surprisingly? Is he one of the worst performers?
No, I'm more of a vocal line girl. I like the dancing. I'm like among the rappers, I prefer J-Hope's album or RM's album more because there's more like grooving and dancing. Suga's is very dark. His material for me is very dark, at least. Like what Sharon told us many times. But yeah, I was surprised at how commanding he is on stage, on his own. And just his musical artistry. He did guitar, he did piano. Galeng. I was very impressed by Suga. Suga.
Bakit it's dark para panindak sa ano? Pagpasok niya sa enlistment, walang no one's
and that's his persona naman talaga in the group, diba? He's like the dark guy.
The bad boy.
Not bad boy, but more of like the...
Diba?
The emo guy?
The emo
guy,
kid?
The goth guy.
The emo
not
goth?
The rebel. But I do want to say, it was my first time to be in a mosh pit na sobrang organized. Like, I felt like I was in a flag ceremony thanks to the Singapore organizers.
Parang ano, the whole week of tweets from Mel has been complaining about.
It's crazy organized.
Yeah.
Is it still called a mosh pit though if it's organized?
Well, it's like, called Gen whatever, right? Category standing, blah, standing whatever, blah, blah. But you had to line up. You had to look at your ticket to see your queuing section. And when you get to your queuing section, you are told to find your place in the queue. So look at your ticket and then line up according to your sequence. And then when it's time...
It's like that also sa Red Velvet.
Here? Yeah, but when it's time to go, talagang sunod-sunod lang. That there are people, there are ushers, and you can't like run in. You really have to wait your turn.
It's all these aunties with
Yeah, all these aunties and uncles. They're obviously volunteers, the senior citizens, who had walkie-talkies and knew what to do. And were very strict. Like, you can't go to the bathroom now, miss. You have to stay in your line if you want to preserve it.
The Empire is a Pinas.
Well, yeah. Ito ganun naman din yung Red Velvet. It was only when you enter the floor mismo na biglang Mad Max Fury Road na si Kuhan. Diba? Kasi I started, I remember, I was like maybe 13 rows from the barracks.
Where was Red Velvet here? MOA, right?
MOA yeah, Arena. Yeah. And then by the time the concert started, I was fourth row.
Nice.
Wow.
Did you watch all 3 days or...
No. I'm saving my money for Jungkook. His impending solo tour.
October daw siya dito eh. Yeah.
Wow, so I'm going then. See you, Quark. I'm going all nights with my daughter.
Yeah. Oh, barricade daw kami. Because he's your bias? Is that
he's
that,
my lustful bias. And then I'm just going to throw Mira on stage and then just tell him to keep her already.
Okay. While Mong is watching.
But yeah, Quark didn't even bother meeting up. He met with Maireen, not me.
I was with you the week before. We watched, you know, Succession. We recorded. We watched another the day after. Pride and Prejudice.
But you're there for the Eras tour with T. Swift.
I know,
no good luck.
No comment.
Tapos sabi yung UOB sale. Why are you no commenting?
Because I'm unbothered by this, by a Swifty.
Wow. Since when have you hated her?
No comment.
Oh, grabe politics talaga.
Yeah. Magalit si Mark Levin sa'yo. It's been... I've never seen him so passionate about the show.
Swifties.
In his life.
My favorite meme is the one where she dives into the stage and then people are like, she's trying to save the Titan Ocean Gate people. In the deep blue sea.
Well, I wonder if the National is going to be your backing band. Is that the people that
pass? No, it's Sabrina Carpenter ata yung opener.
Pag the National yung backing band, baka pumunta pa ako. Just to watch Wow. them.
Wow. Just for the Folkmore part. Yeah.
Malay mo, mag private set sila sa Singapore. In a Pinoy's event.
And then you did sporty things, no? That's what else did you do in Singapore? Like,
that's it. We just watched the concert and then went shopping the day after.
I'm glad you had fun. I so many friends came over.
Half of, like most of Manila, I felt, was there. Yeah. There were so many people.
Yeah. Grabe no. So apparently the chismis is Live Nation. So I know, but they booked the Asian shows. But they don't want to book during weekdays pala. And that was the only thing that was available for the Philippines. And I think...
For Suga.
Yeah, for Suga.
Wow.
And parang like...
An Enslate exclusive, everyone. Nako.
from Live Nation. No, but... I mean, wow. They underestimate the Philippine fandom, right? Like, I mean, kahit Monday...
Madaming... And, so, like, my whole flight, I would say, 70% was... Suga bound was August D bound. Mm.
Well.
So many Pinoys.
Pero which venue were they looking at?
I'm sure Moa lang yan or Araneta.
Not Philippine Arena.
No, kasi ano lang siya eh, smaller tour. Like indoor stadium is only 15, I think.
Yeah, sabagay. Oo naman.
So mga ano Moa Arena nga.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have been perfect for Moa Arena. But then again, I am not a concert organizer.
I just always remember Madonna complaining about staring at the wall during her concert sa Moa Arena.
Oh my gosh, she was 2 hours late. I went with my parents. My mom bought tickets, much to her horror, because, you know, my mom's Opus Dei and then Madonna's gyrating with her rosary and stuff, but...
She's singing like a virgin. She's the material girl.
But that doesn't give her like agency to show up 2 hours late to the show. You know, but 9 p.m. Really, like, start.
Yeah.
Rock star.
It's worth it, though.
It was worth it. It was worth it. But we were very tired after.
Pero galing din, no, if you think about it. Diba, parang, diba Quark, you watched Michael Jackson in Palanyake?
Wow. Open field pa yata yun, ha?
Oo. That was like... Medyo wild, no? I'm sorry to our listeners na medyo naging campfire edition to, no? But, kasi parang, the other day I was listening to Radio Department, and then I remembered nga, there was this era talaga in the mid-aughts na, I was like, man, can you think, di ba parang remembering about how these sort of mid-size groups, they were able to come here, eh? Radio Department, Toro y Moi, Japan Droids, Grimes, Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Hard Rock.
Chairlift. Hot Copy. Diba?
Yeah.
Talagang, now I don't... When was the last time someone like that kind of came here?
I can remember the last time someone like that came here. Anderson Paak before he won his Grammys.
I was going to say, and then Sana Cigarettes After Sex. That was in the...
Actually, I was going to say the most recent is probably Bea Badudi. Pero,
she even came? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, pero this is right before right before she was tapped by Taylor Swift to be an opener sa US dates. Oh, diba?
Hindi ba si Lofi? Lofi?
Maybe that was another segment of the tour. Pero that was the next parang thing that she did. And then, you know, even yung Arctic Monkeys, okay naman. Pero ano na yan eh, mas bigger big audience.
I mean, they're Glastonbury headliners. I think they're big.
And also, like, a number of years na, di ba? Medyo long in the tooth na rin in terms of, like, oh yeah, when 20 years ago, yun natin yung debut, di ba?
So remember parang, when Japanese Breakfast came and did a free show?
Pre-pandemic. Like... that was in the Unilab grounds.
Oh, parang, di ba, may mga ganun na, man, parang wala nang ano eh. Di ba? I felt so depressed na parang no one was able to... rope in the Strokes man lang here.
Remember when Quark used to produce concerts?
Yeah, Chever Chess.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Chairlift. And now yeah. look at
it,
the
it,
Caroline.
It was a different vibe. Yeah.
Oh. Look, yeah, Cord, if you were still producing shows, who would you bring in? Like, name an act that you would like say, I'd love to bring this guy in.
Oh my God, don't know. Put me on spot. The National did come.
The National did come. Yeah. Like War someone Paint who has not here. Come.
Yeah. Mogwai.
With Mogwai and no. Let's see. Spoon. Baka Spoon.
Spoon?
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Wow. So, I was expecting like a newer name or something.
Arlo Parks, kung ganun.
Okay, that's good.
You know who would like sell tickets even if they don't do their hits? Everything But the Girl, I think.
Super!
Oh. And then everyone's gonna expect Cross My Heart and fucking
oh, yeah, in the Philippines, driving, no?
Right?
But their new album is very good. It's quite good.
Yeah.
Get on that ovation.
Yeah. No, I think they should actually do the old songs story. That would be pretty cool, no? Like that.
But didn't Tracy go on record to say that they are never going to tour ever again?
Yeah.
She's sick. May health things, you know, yeah. to Ben.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Which is why he was like, which is why everything had gone inactive, basically. Mm-hmm. And then she was doing solo albums, diba, to Tracy. And he kind of stayed home, I guess, with the... Do they have kids?
Yeah. They do have children.
Wow. And look at this. Waxing poetic about the past.
Oh my God.
It's called nostalgia.
Person.
I know. See, Quark gave me Liz Phair's Exile in Guyville, which recently celebrated its 30th anniversary.
Wow. Oh, 30th.
Yeah, I was like, what? Did I read this correct? Damn it. 93. Holy crap.
Grabe, no? Like, also, like, you know, ay, diba someone mentioned, you know, on Twitter last week, like, huwag kang lilingon. Then I tagged Ann Curtis, and I'm like, this was 17 years ago. That was literally how old Ann was when we fucking shot that movie.
Grabe. The halfway point.
Well, you know, the 40s, they're great. Anyway, how are you guys? Welcome to Enslate again, everyone. What are we talking about today?
Well, we have Katlea Killer. We're going to be interviewing Dan Villegas, Dodo Dayao, and the very lovely Ria Tainde on the show. So watch out for that.
But prior to that, should we give Ramon a soapbox to stand on when it comes to industry cheesms?
Absolutely. Like
what's happening over yonder?
Because America. You and I have not really watched shows this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, since
I know.
Since I've been busy because, trying to go to Singapore and back. But
my house is a COVID nest, and yeah, you have to watch shows. But I'm back. I'm back at home, just so I can record. So if I get
thank you for your service, Mr. Enrique Belo Henares.
So
Ramon, what's happening?
Well, I don't know if it's chisms, which is more of I'm
moving and shaking, maybe.
I'm really aghast at what's been happening with Warner Brothers. No, parang The Flash has flamed out in a way that is spectacularly way more than I expected it to. Not that I expected it to bomb, actually. Wait, I just thought
I'm looking
it would
at
do
its
right.
box office performance right now.
Yeah, I saw a headline that said Warner Brothers is going to lose $300 million on The Flash because it's been a troubled production for a while, right? This is, I think Andy Muschietti is the third attached director. I remember, I think the first person who was attached to it was Rick Famuyiwa. Is that correct? The director of Dope, who has since become one of the main directors of The Mandalorian. And then there's another person between him and Andy Muschietti. And at one point, Grant Morrison was writing it with Ezra Miller.
What?
So,
wow.
Yeah, kasi parang Ezra wasn't happy with any of the drafts. And then, so...
Ezra wasn't happy with the drafts.
Wow.
With the scripts coming in, yeah. Because it was his solo, diba? And he was like, let's get the crazy Scott. And then... and then of course there were the troubles, but I think so The Flash opened poorly for a huge tentpole superhero summer comic book movie of Warner Brothers, right? One of the last, if not the last, second to last, because may Aquaman pa. Second to last of the Snyder era, right? Before it gets rebooted for James Gunn. That, I feel, is one of the main things that turned people, general public, diba, who don't really follow the ins and outs or the continuity. But, I mean, not naman the continuity in terms of like details, but parang they knew na, why are you watching this if it's not gonna matter? Diba, if they're just gonna clean slate everything after this. So that may have been one of the issues na, before the movie came out, they had already basically said, yeah, we're gonna reboot the continuity and it's not going to be parang part of it. So I don't know if that's also, you know, a big problem for the Aquaman movie. That's, I think, November.
And then Blue Beetle. What the fuck?
No, that's the other thing, right? I think this is just me reading into it. But James Gunn has said na Blue Beetle is part of his universe. But the proper first movie will be the Superman one. So parang ako naman, I'm like, is this just studio talk na let's not kill this other movie by saying, oh yeah, we can probably fit this character in, diba? Parang ganon. And you know, I'm hoping naman that there is a reason na Blue Beetle, I wasn't that impressed by the trailer, but I'm hoping to be wrong and that I hope it's a good movie because that's one of the ones that they saved, but they shelved and canceled Batgirl entirely, which, just to remind people, had Michael Keaton's Batman also in it, diba? And Brendan Fraser just off of an Oscar win and a sort of comeback narrative. So, but this is also, again, it's maybe semi-related to Discovery WB head Zaslav, diba, who's been in the news this past week because he was basically about to, or is in the process of gutting Turner Classic Movies
and the library itself of the WB.
Yeah, and selling half of the library of music ng ano ng Warner Brothers for only 500M, which seems like
500 million.
Yeah, including songs from like Batman, di ba parang ganun eh? Like,
that's,
I think,
so
part
cheap.
Of I think the Prince soundtrack from 89 is one of the things on the line. So it's so weird na, you know, parang every time we hear Zaslav's name, it's never good news, basically.
He's officially worse than Killar, no? And Killar was really shitty.
Parang eh, kasi, yeah. Like, it really feels like, not just that there is a disregard for the history, legacy, the value of the library of works under Warner Brothers. It's almost like there's a contempt pa ha for it. Diba? Like, parang, it's just, it feels like to this person, it's just clutter now we can get money out of if we, you know, move it aside. But there's also one of the other things that came out was they are likely going to be licensing HBO shows to Netflix, like Insecure, Issa Rae was mentioned. Amazing. So parang it's another thing. Parang instead of viewing it as exclusive value for the HBO, well, the Max brand, no, another shithead move was that, and then. But, you know, now there's like, I mean, in a way, it's good just because maybe more people will get to check out Insecure, which I love. But, you know, syempre, you're also thinking like, doesn't it dilute the exclusivity of your content now? Oh, your shows are now available in other platforms.
And if Insecure does well, doesn't that reflect badly on you, diba?
But the thing is, I don't think Zaslav cares about those things. Eh? His ego doesn't seem to care about that, diba? Basta it makes money, then it looks good for him in terms of like the quarterly reports, and you know, it'll make him look good bottom line wise. Now, oh yeah, I was able to sell it to Netflix and it did well there, so that's money for us. Parang ganun.
But what about the filmmakers like Spielberg and Scorsese meeting with him to save TCM, Turner Classic Movies?
So yun yeah, diba? So parang they're, I think, I'm not sure exactly what has resulted. They there was a vague statement saying it was a decent meeting, but they still ang nangyari pa rin is this, the staff of TCM was slashed from 90 to 20 people, and then the two heads also departed and were replaced with the WB film heads. So yeah, it might just be saved from being completely taken away, but it's still, you know, when your staff goes from 90 to 20, you're definitely going to operating at a lower register, and things might slip through the cracks. It's funny lang kasi, not funny, but medyo ironic or dramatic, no? Because there was a panel maybe 2 or 3 months ago with those people, Spielberg, Anderson, and Zaslav. And it was a TCM event. So parang it felt really like a parang betrayal na he suddenly made this decision to basically dismantle it. And it's one, and most of the Turner Classic stuff is not available on physical media. So it's like, if it's gone, there's no way for people not to access it. So, and that's like a whole history and archive of films. That's, you can see why E.T. Anderson and Spielberg and Scorsese, you know, basically formed their own old Avengers to take him down. So, I don't know what's gonna happen, di ba? Kasi parang wala na silang franchises. They're just waiting for DC to reboot itself. Yung Fantastic Beasts keeps going down the drains, and you know, Rowling is getting more and more problematic, so they have to keep distancing themselves. Funnily enough, Ezra Miller was also there, and then Flash, which I thought was okay. It has some good moments. We didn't go into it in detail because it had just come. I had just seen the. It wasn't in theaters yet, and it's a decent naman, one of the better DC movies with some truly bizarrely awful CG na Muschietti said was intentional, which I don't buy. But it, you know, it's got a good performance actually from Ezra, and they're good from Sasha Calle. I don't know how that name is pronounced, but see, Supergirl is good. Keaton's decent, you know, when he's not doing sort of fan service. But it also did feel, while watching it, I did remember that most repeated line of dialogue ni Chris Claremont from the comics of the X-Men, which is too little, too late, is what it felt like, basically. I thought they were going to really revamp things, but it's just medyo okay lang. And but definitely, I don't feel it deserved the drubbing it got in terms of the box office. Because it came out, it performed poorly in the first week, less than Black Adam. And then it suffered almost an 80% drop in the second week. So in the second week, it was, I think, fourth place. So Across the Spider-Verse became number one again. And then I think the new J-Law movie, No Hard Feelings, was number two. Elemental was three. And I think Flash was four. So that's a steep drop from an already inauspicious beginning.
I mean, knowing them, because parang ano, no, like ever since Tsuchihara, parang, ano, parang slide down to hell talaga yung Warner, right? Like, I mean, there was a time they had all the Batmans and all the Harry Potters and the Lord of the Rings. They were also a co-producer in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, etc. So parang, ano, no? And then, you know, when Tsuchihara came, there was a scandal, and then of course, Killar with hating the cinema's experience and alienating all these directors like De Villeneuve and Nolan, and then you have Zaslav, who's like, I don't even know, right? Like, parang unsalvageable na talaga yung Warner, considering how great its legacy was. But and knowing how these guys are so fickle, right? Do you think Gunn's universe is in danger, actually?
I don't think Gunn is necessarily in danger, but I'm wondering why Zaslav hasn't been kicked out by the board. Pero that, I mean, kasi that must mean he might be successful in cutting costs, but there's not a lot of money parang coming in, diba? And all the press has been bad. So that's where I'm curious. It's like, is the board of shareholders only concerned with the bottom line and not, you know, seeing all this negative press about changing HBO to Max, or, you know, gutting TCM, or the box office disappointments,
or even giving school address, the Boston
University, yeah,
during the writer's strike.
Yeah, so he gave his commencement address at a university and he was booed basically by the students and umiyak daw siya eh, di ba? Parang may...
Backstage or on stage? Umiyak siya backstage?
Backstage yata.
Yeah, because ano, talagang people were saying ano, in true Boston fashion, you're like, you fucking asshole!
Oh, Boston nga pala. No? So, brutal audience yun. Eh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so, his talk medyo... was about getting along with people, di ba?
Oh my god. Major mistake to have accepted that invitation in the first place, yeah. I think.
So,
but yeah, it just feels like Warner Brothers is flailing, and I don't know how they're going to correct the boat and then also have to parang repair your relationship with the creatives, diba? And you're in the middle of a strike pa, diba? The Writers Guild is on strike now. The Actors Guild is definitely mukhang going to strike because they approved 97% the vote to strike. I think they signed the Producers Guild signed a sort of agreement, so a preemptive agreement of some sort with the Directors Guild. So maybe they're okay there, but still, it's like very combative and yun nga, ang laki ng pagkabomb ng The Flash to the point na. Wow.
I just don't think it's been a good year for superhero movies in general this year.
You think it's part
of it. I don't know, because I think Guardians was a great way to cap off that trilogy, and that made a lot of money. Across the Spider-Verse is one of the best things.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking din kasi because the highest grossing Warner films of the past 5 years were Joker and the Batman, right? So, I mean, now you have this other one where the Batman is always featured in all the trailers. And then parang, oh no, it didn't do well. So, oh. I don't know.
Pero even that, di ba? Parang, it was a strange decision then to use the Keaton. And of course, just to preempt, no? I mean, or to contextualize, he's my favorite Batman. But I'm also an old. Di ba? So parang... Why are they expecting kids to give a crap about like Michael Keaton's Batman? Kasi, di ba, they didn't grow up with him. It's the parents na parang, are you trying to entice the parents?
Can you explain having two Batman franchises in production at the moment?
It's like, ano, it's like having two Spider-Men in Sony, di ba? You have the Spider-Verse and then the Tom Holland who they share with, ano pa, who they share with MCU.
So it's going to be like a multiverse kind of thing?
James Gunn said that they would be labeled Elseworlds, which is kind of like...
multiverse.
Yeah, well, Elseworlds is an imprint of DC where it's like, what if Batman lived and went after in Victorian England and went after Jack the Ripper, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
So, what if Superman's ship landed in Mother Russia? You know, and so... Yeah, Elseworlds is not a brand I think that they should want to stamp over everything, especially since it wala nang Elseworlds in the comics, diba? But basta kawawa, medyo may pressure din talaga si Gunn, diba? Like that first film of his that he's writing and directing has to be like amazing from the gate. And then just bizarre stuff.
Welcome to the industry. But speaking of Spider-Verse, what's your opines, your opinions on the whole underpaying and overworking animators, allegedly?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sad, no? We're coming off such a high kasi of it being such a great work. And of course, to the audience, we don't really see naman the hardship, diba? We don't see the intentions, ill or not. Go into it. All we see is the final product, and the final product is amazing. But of course, you also feel bad if it turns out na people were overworked, underpaid. It's basically crunch, diba? which is usually associated with the video game industry, where everyone's working all hours, not going home, not sleeping, trying to hit a deadline of release.
It's and also then... called production. I don't know. I'm just maybe it's because
it's called production here in third world. Though.
Yeah, no, parang for me that's
no. I see your point.
Normal.
Yeah, yeah. Pero I do wish. Like, I don't think Lord Miller have commented on it yet, diba?
Nor
pero,
have the directors.
Yeah, pero of course, you see, number one tanga, Amy Pascal gave this statement that was like, welcome to filmmaking or something like that.
Yes, yes,
know?
That's filmmaking.
It's like, girl, parang have you not learned from your leak which led to your ouster as a
quiet.
Studio head? Parang dapat may PR crisis team ka na eh.
Oh wait, did we properly conceptualize this, by the way?
No. No.
Okay, yeah, let's so what's going on with Lord Miller and the Spider-Verse movies?
Oh, well, it just came out. Now, four animators came to basically said that the conditions of working on Across the Spider-Verse were very harsh. They were, working all hours. They were being given constant revisions. Some scenes they had to do five times. So it frustrated them. It exhausted them. And they were doing so much more work for the same pay, which wasn't which didn't seem fair. Na parang they were constantly overtime, and then it felt frustrating to just be working on a scene you've already done like two or three times before, and then here's another revision, you have to do it over again. Like, syempre nakabaliw yun. Pero yun nga, parang they were saying, well, if the story is not right, that's just what you have to do. According to Amy, she says, welcome to filmmaking, but of course it's a very cavalier way to, try and address that statement.
And Amy Pascal, who used to head Sony,
yes,
but was exited, and part of her exit clause was she gets to stay on the Spider-Man films as a producer.
As a producer.
Yeah. So
so
sayang, because kind of like it was like her redemption arc where, haha, you ousted me, but I created a universe out of this clause and the contract that says you can make films out of side characters and villains. But now, just like the
back to being the bad guy.
Back to being the bad
guy. But one of the worst things that came out of this, I think it was a vulture who broke it, no? One of the worst things that came out is that the animators were saying there is no way this movie is going to hit that release date though of March 2024. So, bad news for the audiences and fans, but syempre, we also want people to not have poor health and lose their minds working on this. Just give them the time they need and work on the script until you have what you need, but it's not always being constantly revised. And then in a way, what we were saying, how good Across the Spider-Verse was, we were saying now, grabe no, what was Lord Miller's Han Solo movie like, kaya. And then now it's like, oh, maybe this is why Kathleen Kennedy fired them.
But to Mel's point, parang ano man. I mean, I do think it's bad leadership and bad business. And parang Lord, especially, sinisingle out kasi si Phil Lord, eh, diba? And then Miller, it's kind of like, well, medyo side this na parang medyo absentee si Miller, but he shows up at
well,
the end.
Well, kasi Miller didn't work on the first movie. Eh. Sa second movie lang siya pumasok as script. Pero si Lord was in the first co-writer of the first movie and producer also.
But Miller was producer of Into, right?
Yeah, pero parang ano lang eh. More of a in-name only ata.
Like a Lennon and McCartney thing.
Like it was under their office, pero I don't think he was as hands-on as Lord was.
Yeah, so parang ano, but it's not abusive. It's not Joss Whedon, what I mean? Parang
right.
So parang
it's more exploitative than abusive.
Oh, diba? And then people quit because they hated the job, but diba, parang yeah, but like good, you quit because you hated the job. But at least there, diba? It's not like parang you come out scarred with your virtue and dignity. So a little disappointing, but also a little, the fact that Lord will go that far to get the best product possible is also a little parang, oh damn. for the future generations henceforth, parang you have this amazing game changing series of movies. So,
I guess like when Zemeckis was shooting Back to the Future, diba, they were already 4 weeks in shooting and then just deciding to scrap everything and reshooting the whole movie with Michael J. Fox because they were reviewing everything and decided it's just wrong.
Yeah, pero, it happens. No, but I think that's different naman where, you know, they're probably not naman working crazy hours na parang nagpupuyat necessarily. That's more of an unfortunate mistake lang na parang, you know, it's a difficult decision and it wastes this 2 weeks of work. Pero it has to be done, diba? As opposed to yung parang yun nga, hindi ka nakauwi to your family, you know, and then your health is suffering, and then you're doing scenes that you've done 4 to 5 times already before. That feels like parang yun nga, na sana the script was in a more stable, finished position before really giving it to the animators.
I guess. I'm just very torn.
Sounds like advertising to me.
Yeah, I'm so torn because but talagang, you know, when you work from the bottom, you decide to choose to work in media or the arts, you're pretty much being slaves. I remember not going home for 3 weeks because I had to work on something.
Oh, pero you know, it's siempre. That's why, you know, parang it's difficult for some of the people, especially, but they can't just leave their job and uproot their family, and they need, you know, to pay mortgages. They can't just leave. They're not necessarily young single people, so you know, and there's a whole group of talent who could have done also amazing work, but you know, had to leave because they couldn't take it. It's a classic tale then of like ano eh. You know, it's an old argument of like, is the sort of quote is the potentially abusive / exploitative means justified by the end, diba? That's one of the things that's addressed in Whiplash, diba? Na parang, can you excuse that kind of abusive mentor protege relationship if it results in your protege becoming one of the best drummers? So every person has their own sort of threshold for what they'll take.
Yeah, I think like I mean, it sounds like another day on David Fincher set. So
or James Cameron set.
It's good that they kind of bitch. Actually, very entertaining yung mga account nila kasi very real. The first person by it. Again, pinasulat ng essay. But I don't necessarily think, I mean, this is not Whedon. Like, Whedon, I think, again, this is more Fincher than Whedon, diba? More, because Fincher, like, will work you to the bone. He'll frustrate you. Parang matira matibay. But, you know, parang, wala, alam mo naman, walang personalan eh. Diba? Parang, he just really needs to get his vision on screen, whereas Whedon will, you know, toy with your emotions, make people
very ego driven.
Yeah, turn people against you, parang make you feel like
narcissist.
So I mean, I don't honestly don't think it will really affect Lord's career, but at least people know what they're getting into now.
I think the focus is on it just because the films are so good, diba? So they became parang these examples of like a new sort of level for the art form. And so it's disappointing that, oh, this was the cost, you know? Na parang, this is how that sausage got made, even though it's delightful sausage.
Well, guys, I hope you have second thoughts about joining our industry if you want compassionate hours. You're not going to get
Come in, eyes open.
Enslate! And welcome back to Enslate. It is our pleasure and to our excitement. I'm literally risking my life for this moment. We're very, very happy to have back on the show Mr. Dodo Dayao, writer.
Good to be back.
Finally, on his Enslate debut, director Jan Villegas, and another debutante on Enslate, the very talented actress and producer, Miss Ria Ataide. Yeah!
Fresh from Bruno Mars.
Agard.
2 days later, ano na siya, recovered na from Bruno Mars.
Yeah. The team behind Prime Video and ABS-CBN and Nathan Studios, of course. Katlea Killer! Woohoo!
Congratulations, everyone, yes, for the success of Katlea Killer. It was on the charts for quite a while.
Yes, number one. Yes, yeah. For, yeah. So, and then, and a stayer. Parang, ano ba, 2-3 weeks in, nandun pa rin as at the top. So, congratulations, guys, on making such a great show as well.
Thank you.
Ayun, so let's get to it.
Actually, before you came on, Cork, I was asking the team if it was an ABS production. So, it was. Can you guys take us through, like, how you pitched it to ABS and then how you finally, after, also decided to pitch it to Quark's team in Prime? Producer ka. Ikaw yung producer. Ikaw, Taya.
Ayan.
Okay. So, yeah. I was like, because I feel like everybody has a different story as to how we got on board. To begin with, yeah, like you said, it was an ABS-CBN international production. They pitched it initially as something that my brother would star in lang, si Arjo, just to, as the actor. And then when the opportunity presented itself, they offered it to us as a co-production for Nathan Studios. And then it kind of just snowballed from there. They tapped Sir Dodo and Direk Dan. And I feel like when we saw the material also, we were like, no, this has to be Direk Dan. It was like an executive decision for all of us na, yeah, it has to be him. So there. And then maybe they have more to say about it.
Well, how about Dodo?
Actually, si Dan was responsible for getting the info. He recommended me to ABS. And then they pitched me what they had for Full Circle. They submitted this to Full Circle kasi, ABS.
Mm.
So that was pitched to me. And then, yun, pinabayaan na nila ako to write, to pitch a storyline to them based on what they pitched. Eventually, roundabout.
For clarification, I just want to mention, like, what's, I want to ask lang what's Full Circle. Kasi in my head, it's the Steven Soderbergh HBO show.
Full Circle is parang FDCP's lab. They've been doing it for a few years.
Film Development Council.
Yeah, Film Development. From the previous one. So, I think, I don't know what edition it was with that had Katlea in it. But there was naka-separate kasi yun to feature films and series. So they were part of the lab for that year, 2021. But yeah, I'm not sure about the date, 2021, yeah. So yun, and they pitched it to me. They pitched the deck that they had for the lab to me, plus may mga ano pa eh, may comments na from the mentors and stuff. Tapos I was asked to pitch a storyline based on that. Na naka-breakdown na into the episodes. So, yeah, that was how it sort of went.
Nice. So, wait, it all happens at Full Circle Lab? Parang...
I think it started there, yeah. Started.
Wow.
And then, Dan, was it, ano? So, from the beginning, it was already a sequel to Sa Aking Mga Kamay?
Yes. From the get-go.
I'm curious about that, actually. Kasi, di ba parang hindi... Well, I love that movie. I remember pinanood ko yun sa Quad or something. But I remember it wasn't a hit. And
really?
Medyo forgotten
siya. I thought it was a hit.
Medyo forgotten. No, ano eh. Yun nga eh. Parang...
Agamulak?
Yeah.
The parang Agamulak ahead of its series. Time, no?
Yeah, oo. Oh. And then parang...
Kasi dark role, gano'n.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, ang ganda nga ng ano eh. Dodo. Napansin ko sa script mo. I think Ricky Davao Noble or one of the characters mentions na parang, oh, ano to, parang ginagaya niya at the height of the serial killer trend nung in Seven. The 90s. And yeah. The 90s. Which it literally was, right? Yeah. So, why bring back that movie, basically?
Yeah.
I think to lift off of that lang, I think the idea of ABS came from coming up with concepts na mas pasok internationally based on the archives that they already had. And I think Sa Aking Mga Kamay, that was in recent years restored into like a digital version. So I think they thought that it would be the best given also na serial killer and true crime is such a thing now, diba? Yun, it's really from there, from that whole idea.
Now airing on Prime, by the way, also.
Yes.
But I'm actually curious about Dan, like how, why he was like the first name to pop up from the director's list, in the director's list. Because we all know naman, Dan has a huge following in the rom-coms. And I know you did Ilawad with Yvette. Why did you say yes to a thriller?
Nung pinitch kasi sa akin, parang super challenging nung material. Tapos, I mean, sa aking mga kamay, super love ko siya. And same with Quark, nag-cut pa yata ako ng class nun eh, to watch that in theaters. So, parang super trip yung film. Tapos, again, parang ibang genre siya na pwedeng paglakuan. Tapos, nung tinanong ako, sinong okay na writer, eh, super fan ako ni Dodo. Sabi ko si Dodo na yung kunin. Para, ayun, tas everything fell into place.
Just to do some research, what did you watch to prepare for the series? Just for inspiration. What did all you guys you watch?
Ako nanonood ako ng Blade Runner. For a week of some weird reason. Kasi ang una naming, ang unang, when I was thinking about what to, how to pitch it back to them, ang una ko naisip, yung, di ba there was a, it's an urban legend na, or a myth na si Deckard was actually a replicant. So yung idea of the cop investigating his own crime, ang parang inisip kong way in to the material. So, yun yung weird, ang weird lang na. Tapos, and I think I was deliberately avoiding serial killer shows and films just so I won't fall into the tropes.
So if you were avoiding those, ano, the material from the genre you were writing in, ano yung mga pinanood mo as like, maybe kahit for mood lang or vibes?
Actually, nagbasa ako ng comics. Ala, meron 5-issue run si Grant Morrison sa Swamp Thing. Yung nagising siya. And,
the one before Mark Millar.
Yeah, the one right before where it was misdirected na it was all a dream. The whole Alan Moore run was all a dream. So yun yung binabasa ko actually for just to get me prepared weirdly for the material. Tapos yun, nanood talaga ako ng Blade Runner tsaka in 2046 na Blade Runner.
Ah, okay. Kala ko yung
both
yung mong karoon.
I did.
Na, and then how about you, Rhea? Actually, your character, I mean, aside from producing, you did an excellent job, by the way. I think your most, you know, intense role.
My God, I always say that Dan was able to push me to limits I would never have thought. Like, I'm so, coming into the project, we were all so excited to, especially me and Arjo, when they were asking us who we want to work with. I mean, like, the whole idea of who the director would be, parang, we said direct Dan, kasi his body of work, I mean, yeah, it's a rom, he would work on rom-coms, but I feel like with Excess Baggage, he was able to kind of show that he can do dark, like, he can kind of darken it, even if it's like, okay, maybe that sounds, you know, but you get it. And then in terms of acting, he speaks our language. So napigyan niya kami in a way na, you know, you talk to actors like actors. But in terms of film also, you know, we came into this. He was super prepared for each character with like a character description, with the mga character tests and all of that. Those personality test results, we all had all of that. So kung hindi namin nagawa yung gusto niya, medyo bobo kaming artista, you know what I mean? Like, we had so much material to lift off and to work with. And then in terms of, like, review of related literature, kumbaga, I feel like we all, at least me, Jane, Arjo, Ketchup, we watched Zodiac, we watched Seven, and sa Akamai, or prior to coming into our first day of work.
Nice.
So, ano yung MBTI ng character mo? Dalo.
INFJ yata.
Ah, wow. Grabe. Yun ang research ni Dan. Galing.
Sobra. Oh my goodness. Yung I was already impressed prior to coming in, but after working with him, I was like, yeah, no. I don't want to work with anyone again. Shut up.
Oh, thank you.
Well, now that we have Dan back.
Uy! Iba naman.
Okay. How about you, Dan, the man?
Actually, mahaba yung debate namin nung DOP ko si Pao on the visuals. Ano talaga eh, parang we stuck with Darius Conji's work. Tsaka si...
So, mga Wimbledon.
Anong name ni Batman? Ni... Si gumawa ng Batman? Si...
Si Robert...
The M.
Wait. Batman?
The last DP ng The Batman.
The Batman. Yung bago, yung Robert Pattinson.
Yung kay ano, diba? Si...
Si... Anong name
he also shot Dune. No, that's the director.
Oh, DOP ng Dune.
Oo.
Greg Fraser.
Si Greg Fraser.
Ayun. Person ni Pao na very polite source yung whole piece. So, parang we stuck with it. Basically, work talaga ng cinematographers yung naging focus namin on the research.
Nice. And ano, like, napansin ko kasi medyo, I mean, without, we can get to spoilers later, pero medyo, ano siya eh, a fuck you also in many ways to sa aking mga kamay, which I also love. Parang marami siyang like kung kunwari if there were, you know, yung mga Mission Impossible fans of the first Mission of the TV show were so insulted by the De Palma Mission Impossible, may pagkaganon yung Katleya Killer eh. Sadya ba siya, I guess, to kind of circumvent the original movie.
I think Sarah would be the best to...
I'm not sure kung sadya is the word. Parang organic lang naman siya ng words. Kasi, well, pinanood ko na mabilis yung film, although I've seen it before. Tapos parang when we were trying to sort of like make the pattern, the serial killer patterns fit, parang dun, mapapansin mo na medyo wala dun sa aking mga kamay yung tropes ng serial killing films na may pattern yung ano, yung killer and all. So parang, I think it was mostly drawing from that. Medyo, hindi naman kalat, pero medyo, ano yung nangyayari doon sa akin. So that was, hindi ko alam kung it was conscious on my end to sort of comment on that. Pero parang, I think, from the beginning, established na hindi kami gagawa ng copycat killer show. So there had to be a different layer to the new killer. So parang just took it from there.
I remember tweeting after I saw the first few episodes, and then Dan, I was asking you who your set decorator was, because I think that's one of the things that stood out for me, the attention to detail and the littlest things down to Rhea's bag na parang sobrang throwaway siya for some, but I guess for people who really pay attention na parang sobrang bagay siya to the character. So how did you guys settle on the look of the series? What did your set decorator insist on? What were compromisable or what were like, talagang this has to happen?
Yung pinakamalaking ano dyan yung sets talaga. Kasi for example, yung NBA, yung office nila, it was a set eh. We built that ano eh. Kasi wala kaming mahanap na pasok sa look.
Akala ko you guys just shot at the post office or something.
Hindi, set yun. Yung exterior sa ano, sa Quezon Institute.
Okay.
Pero yung interiors,
wow. I really
set
thought
siya.
You guys shot at a government office. Nice.
Wow. So lahat, yung police yes. station, yung morgue,
Yung morgue, ano talaga, locked talaga siya sa sa QI, sa Quezon Institute. Tapos yung hallway, and then Quezon Institute din yun. Pero yung office nila mismo, nila Rhea nila, yun, built lahat yun. So, kasi nga, yung PD namin, si Alvin Francisco, sobrang siyang, what I love about him is sobrang OC siya, sobrang anal nga siya sa detail. Pati yung time period, pati yung to the cell phones, to the gasgas nga ng cellphone eh.
The newspaper clippings really stood out for me kasi parang who would take the time to age a newspaper clipping to make it look like it came from the 90s or something. Same font, same feel na parang wala lang, ang galing. I like that part, those parts.
Thank you, Mel. Sabihin ko sa kanya.
Pero yun din ang comments ng most of our Facebook group members, Anna. The production design, the scoring, the way it's shot, it's very, very fantastic.
Yes. How about you, cast? Well, actually, I love the cast. Ang ganda ng ensemble. And then si Jake Cuenca, ano yan eh, parang secret weapon. Parang Nicolas Cage, si Jake Cuenca. He is prone to being used strongly, but when used correctly, parang siyang ano eh, diamond bullet to the head. So I'm just thinking about the casting process. Ano yung ginawa nyo? To kind of like get the right cast together. I love also the older generation. I think Ian Noni and of course Boyet, Christopher De Leon and Ricky Davao in its best role in a long time for me.
I actually have a question to the three of you. Do you think that Christopher De Leon and Ricky Davao are the De Niro and Pacino of Philippine cinema right now? Kasi parang silang, I don't know. For me, parang heat yung nangyayari seeing them together on screen or in the same show at least.
They're both so talented, so I wouldn't put it past them to have those, you know, if people see them as that, because I mean, working with them is such a pleasure and they're so professional, they're so good. It's just, ay nako, this experience talaga. I swear.
Hard to go back.
Super. When they ask me, what's your dream role? Katleya season 2.
Oy, boss. Boss ng dyan.
But seriously, like, again, how about the, about getting the cast together? Paano siya nangyari?
Well, they, I was still writing kasi when they were casting. So, and I think my direct experience with finding out who the cast was. There was a Zoom meeting where everybody was introduced to each other. Everybody was there. And I was still doing revisions. That was after that, like, when I found out this is who was playing, who, like, SketchUp specifically, tsaka si Sir Ricky, dumami yung parts dun sa next episode bigla. And I think it was that Zoom was directly responsible for the safe house scene being what it was, because it was a very short scene originally, and then it became much bigger because I was still working towards that episode pa eh. So parang okay na, when I found out na si Sir Ricky was playing Noble, sige, lalakihan ko na yung safe house. Tsaka yung banter ni Ketchup tsaka ni Arjos Umpisa, that was lengthened nung nalaman ko na si Ketchup. So yun.
So medyo sarado na yung roles.
May ensemble na. Tapos may scripts na din na nasabit. Like, I think at that point. But syempre, we were still revising and still taking notes and stuff. Tapos sumigi naman ako ng permission sa prod kung pwede kong habaan yung mga scenes. Kasi it just fell into place naman. When,
so, yun. Nice. At ang ganda ng Mike, Rafi, diba? Parang that chemistry, how did that?
Full disclosure, yung sub-deck kasi ng ABS originally, yung part sa bar was just a prologue. Yung, alam mo yung parang nilalagay lang sa umpisa ng shows para makita mo yung bida in action. So it was just supposedly a small scene. Pero parang suddenly parang, bakit natin liliitan to? Pwede ito na lumaki and we can use it to introduce characters. Tapos, because we had to come up with an operation, kaya na-invento yung si John D. Tsaka si yung character ni Georgie. And then I said, naisip ko, sama na natin si yung character ni Ria tsaka yung character ni Sir Noli dun sa scene. So parang table setting siya na malaki. Ginawang set. So parang yun. It was supposed to be just a very, very small scene before the title credits. Tapos yun, like, expand na siya.
I have a question about, like, the yung visual style or just scenes even. Were you guys able to, like, see Dan not super familiar necessarily in terms of the work, no, with a crime show? Were there scenes or shots na you've always wanted to try and or do na parang pwede Dodo pakilagay naman to para magawa natin parang ganun. And then same with Dodo. I mean, I know you've worked on crime stories before with the tapes and others, but were there scenes nga na parang something you had in your back pocket na you've always wanted to try na nagawa niya dito?
yung there was one scene that I've always wanted to put in something, yung gas mask scene with Sir Ricky when he was yung medyo hiwalay siya from the plot itself, yung nagsuot siya ng gas mask na sumasayaw siya sa kwarto. So that was an old idea that I was looking for a place to put it in. Tapos sumakto siya. And then yung suntukan sa talyer was something I've always wanted to write, yung mahabang action scene. Na, tapos winantake nga ni Dan, so sobrang, hindi ko in-expect na iwa one take ni Dan. So, ayun. So, yung dalawang yun, specifically naalala.
Ang ganda nun, ha? Akala ko nga, at first akala ko stunt. Kasi, naka-hoodie si Arjun. Arjun. And then, he takes it off. So, naka-ilang takes ka, Dan, for that amazing fight sequence?
I think 12. Buong day namin sinishoot yung fight scene na yun. From blocking to... I mean, naka-rehearse na kami before. Pero I think mga 12. Tapos ang ginud yata, I think, was take 8. 8 or 9.
Oh, I think. Sino yung stunt?
Si Marol.
Ganda.
Si Marol. Super, super happy ako. Actually, yun din yung scene na gusto kong gawin na... Pinag-uusapan kasi namin ni Pao paano i-mount yung mga action scenes. Kung eh, ayoko sana mag-cutty na cut to close up, cut to ano. Tapos sabi ko, sige, one take natin. So hindi kami sumunod doon sa actual shot list. Nung nag-working one take, okay na yan. Moving on na tayo. Parang doon sa, parang yung eksena din sa bridge, I think yung ender ng episode 1. Actually, nung shot list namin sa script kasi supposedly parang kukuha dapat ako ng option na parang just in case hanapin sa post, mas madramahan ng konti, mas ma-extend yung scene. Eh, ang galing nung performance ni Arjun sa tuhog. Tapos sumakto pa yung moon sa background.
Mm-mm.
Parang everything fell into place. Tapos parang, okay na yan, uwi na tayo. Ganda na ng shot.
Rhea, how did you get to all those dark places? Like, not your usual...
Actually, a lot of it, like, because I'm used to like soap opera acting, like, you know, like intense. I've played a lawyer, a doctor, you know what I mean? So it's not like this that's a lot more relaxed and a lot more real and a lot more natural, I guess. I think that to begin with was my first struggle. Direct Dan would have to be like, chill ka lang, chill ka lang. I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh my God. Like, I think I'm chill. No, papala. And I think emotionally naman, I feel like the material itself, it was nice because everybody was really like, and this is something we all, like all of us actors would say this every like press con, every promo, that everybody really brought their A game. So wherever you look, you could really like make hugot from the people you're working with. It was just such a great experience.
Aww.
Yeah. So it was nice. And yeah, Direct Dan was... very careful in terms of like treading with our emotions for the scenes, like what he needed. Very clear in terms of instruction. And then, you know, like I said, the material is good enough to lift off from as well. So I feel like it just all worked out. Buti na lang.
Then, tsaka yung scene ni Rhea dun sa yung takbo niya. Parang minethod pa namin yun eh.
Direct. Okay.
Sorry.
So, diba, ano yun? Ito sa tracking when I was running. After running, cut to na yun. Like, that's the next take already ni Direct Dan when I jump into the bushes. Ayaw niyang jump in lang ako. Pinatakbo pa niya ako mga 4 laps ulit. So, as a pagod talaga. Like, hindi talaga. But it worked. I feel like if I hadn't done that din naman, it wouldn't have been as real to me or as effective. So everything was just like appropriately orchestrated, if that's the right term. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like such a fan.
Sorry, Rhea.
Never work.
Ang logic ko lang nun, parang ano eh, iniisip ko lang, parang titignan ko sa camera, tapos parang kailangan mas pagod pa si Rhea dito sa shot na to.
Pero kasi dun sa point din na yun, feel ko yun dapat, yung feeling ko, kawawang-kawawa ako. Awang-awa talaga sa sarili ko.
But Dan, what was it like also directing Arjo, the star of the series, the main character?
Si Arjo kasi sobrang siyang cerebral eh. So parang yung kot-kot mo sa kanya, parang hindi mo kailangan very literal yung direction sa kanya. So hahanapin mo lang yung point na ang hirap explain eh. Kasi ang maganda sa cast, yung nga, sila Ria, ganyan. Yung nagbigay ako ng homework, basahin nyo to, ito yung characters nyo, pag-usapan natin, kung may comments kayo, ganyan. Talaga sineryoso nila lahat across the board. So super happy ako doon na hindi lang nila binasa yung script, binasa nyo nila yung research that comes with the characters, their characters. Tapos with Arjo kasi, papaalala mo sa kanya na, oh, yung character mo ganito. Tapos I always ask my actors din eh, na parang, gagawin mo ba to? Ano yung reaction mo dito? So, nagbibigay din ako ng freedom sa kanila to react. For example, sa bridge scene, may fear of heights yata talaga si Arjo.
Hindi lang fear of heights, but the fear of cats.
Cats?
Oo.
Talaga?
Ayun, so parang ginamit namin yung fear na yun dun sa scene na yun. Kaya parang so super nag-work siya for me. Pa yung body language niya, pati yung reaction niya, yung... Ang naalala kong direction ko sa kanya dun, parang ano eh. Nagda-drive ka, cut to nandito ka na bigla. Ano reaction mo? So may parang nag-teleport ka from one place to another. So parang ganun yung... Ano eh, hindi siya... Hindi si Arjo, very ano siya eh, very calculating. So kaya sarap niyang i-direct.
Does he come super prepared on set or ano siya, anything goes?
Super prepared sila. Actually, silang lahat. Kaya nga sobrang amazing experience directing them eh. Kasi parang si Tito Bo, dumating siya sa set, mainit na yung ulo niya for the scene. Yung ending, nasapak niya si Arjo. So, oo. Tapos talagang nakakatuwa, as in super proud ako sa cast na pagdating nila sa set, ready to take ka. Ipupwesto ko na lang yung camera actually. Parang ganun yung naging process.
Were you strict about sticking to the script? Or pwede sila mag-improv?
Depende sa scene. Pero as much as possible, I want to stick to the script talaga. May mga scenes na parang ito pwede natin paglaruan. For example, yung kay Jake, yung nabasted siya. Parang iniisip namin, paano ba yung babae dito? Sabi ko kay Jake, isipin mo, nadinig mo yung best joke ever habang bumababa ka dito sa stairs. Tapos yun, ginawa niya. So, ayun. Okay naman yung process. So, super, super happy ako and proud with the process of directing the actors. And yun na, super professional. And wini-wish ko na sana lahat ng directors baka work yung ganitong task.
No, in fairness, the whole experience was just very like a collaboration from all ends. Like, and I think that's why we all enjoyed working on it. And I think that's why we are also very excited for people to see it. Kasi there was just so much heart. I mean, I know they say this about projects all the time, that there's a lot of heart that's put in it. But like, for us, at least actors that have been working therein for a while then, it was just a different experience. I mean, for the veterans to also say that this is one of the best things they've done in their like filmography list, you know, that's also very telling that it's not just us, the young ones, that were like happy with what we did.
No, that's great. It's super great. And one of the more interesting things also about the cast is like maraming cast against type, like Sasha Padilla is suddenly a psychiatrist, and si Jane is parang super ano, like haunted but also very liberal female cop. And then my personal favorite na feeling ko also avatar ni Dodo is si si Lorelai who I love, and I'm not too familiar with Francis. And of course, like Rafa also, like as a you know, like a tough guy. And so how about yung mga choices na yan on those casting choices? How did those character actors come in?
Nung pumasok ako, ano na eh, parang medyo nakalock na yung cast. Ako, good choice I mean, kay, kina RSB sa mga bossing for them to get and fill out the roles.
Parang it was ABS International that was overall deciding for casting. Nathan got involved with like commenting lang siguro, like they gave us options for certain characters, like who would you prefer for this? And then there, I think they really wanted people that they knew they could depend on in terms of acting then. Because nga, this is their first venture internationally. So they wanted to make sure na reliable yung mga makuha nila, in fairness naman.
So I guess to wrap up the conversation, the series has been received quite well. Nagulat pa kayo sa reception ng tao. And do you think that, you know, Pinoys are really ready for this kind of entertainment and it's just not, you know, Tweetums and Teleserye anymore? We're a mature enough audience to watch thrillers and noirs and stuff, other things like this. Let's start with Rhea.
Personally, you know, I feel like this is one of the positive things that like streaming services has opened the possibility for Filipinos. Like we're becoming a lot more open when it comes to different genres, and we're becoming a lot more siguro versed and knowledgeable when it comes to these things. And yeah, I think it's yay time we get into things like this, because you know, if other countries can do it, we can too. And I think that's why, you know, this whole experience has just been so overwhelming for all of us, even the response. Like this was the first series that screened in Cannes, MIPCOM in Cannes, and the response there was really like, oh wow, thank you, I hope this opens doors for Filipino entertainment internationally, because even the Filipinos there were like, thank you, because we feel as though we're at the same level as the people here, yung nakapasok na sila ng palay, hindi lang sila nasa labas and seeing other nationalities, you know. So it's, I mean, siguro it sounds kind of patriotic in that sense then. I hope this show has opened doors talaga for different possibilities for Filipino entertainment. And I'm just grateful to have been a part of this, really. Like, pioneering and a benchmark, I'd say. Even such a huge milestone, even for my career.
And singit ko lang din, actually, hindi lang actually yung final output eh. Yung the way we made it, na parang we tried to follow the unang-una yung turnaround for everyone na minimum ng 10 to 12 hours.
Wow, really?
Tapos, oh, yeah.
Seryoso? So shooting. Congratulations.
The most professional set I've ever been on. All of us actors should say this.
20-hour days?
At walang sumisigaw sa set, by the way. Mind you, like...
Ayun. Tapos, yung whole concept of the stand-in. So, we tried to follow the mas Western, mas Hollywood workflow. Tapos, parang shooting this, ma-realize mo na, ay, shit, kaya pala. Kaya pala dito sa Pilipinas. Diba? So, nakakatuwa siya na parang achievement siya for the people behind the camera din, na with proper pre-prod and proper allotment ng budget, props sa Nathan siya sa ABS for doing that. Kaya siya, kaya ma-pull off ang isang quote-unquote Western set dito sa Pilipinas.
How many shooting days? Sorry, Dan?
26 yata.
Oh, wow.
It's a less than 30. That's all I know.
Taking benchmark ko to of the workflow na sana ma-standardize din sa Pilipinas. I mean, yung ano na lang, proper turnaround na lang. Na kahit nag-shoot kami ng 4 or 5 days straight, nakakatulog yung mga tao. Across the board yun. So, ayun. So, super happy ako with the workflow ka play.
Ako, I'll add lang kasi to what they're saying. Kasi first time akong nagsulat using the, I don't know if it's just in Hollywood, pati sa ibang Southeast Asian countries, yung color-coded ng scripts. So pag nag-revise ka at a certain number of revisions, nag-iiba yung kulay. And you only revise the page and then mark it as a certain color. So it's a supposedly more efficient for the team when it comes to the actual production. So medyo confusing. It's the fourth revision or something. So and only the pages marked pink version are the ones with revision. So they just print that out, tapos papalitan na lang sa script na hawak ng actors and the staff. I got the hang of it. And I was trying to introduce it nga to the next project. Medyo naguguluhan pa sila. Pero it was my first time then. And I kind of liked the flow. Kasi less than work for me. Because I didn't have to work on the whole document all over again. Just for the revisions. And you sort of keep track. So ang daming files na color-coded. So ang dali maghanap ng certain scenes that were revised or whatever.
Grabe. Yeah, no, just wanted to thank everybody. One last question for Rhea. I guess putting on that producer hat, how has that been? And do you have it on while acting also? Parang dana, dalawang oras na lang.
I realized, no, it's hard pala talaga to be an actor on something you're producing. Kasi as an actor, di ba, you want to do the impossible. Then as the producer, parang you're a lot more idealistic when you're an actor. And as a producer, you have to be a little bit more of a realist, I think. So that was hard for me to kind of put together. But for this one, parang my mom kind of just allowed me naman during the shooting of it to just be an actor for it, me and Arjo, focus on the acting, and then after, it's more like the stuff we did before and after that I was heavily involved in. But yeah, it's nice then, at least we got to do something like this, you know, something that Arjo and I actually really wanted to do. It's nice, I think it's exciting, and yeah, I'm looking forward to more stuff under Nathan with Direct Dan and Sir Dodo.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you all working on next? I guess before we finally, what's on the pipeline?
I'm writing for, I'm doing a lot of stuff for Epic. I'm on two series. I'm part of the writing staff. Pero something for me to direct, still pitching stuff.
Okay, me next. I'm working on a soap, actually. Yeah, for ABS and TV5, their collaboration. And yeah, and on Cell Block under Black Ops.
Wow, who's your role?
I am Janelle Domingo, who is a correctional officer at the prison. So at least chill a little.
All right.
Wala tayong smell the fart acting.
Another two reference.
Dan, what's next, Dan?
Showing sa Cinemalaya yung Rookie.
Yon.
Directed by Samantha Lee. And Hindi Mapupukaw, directed by Carl Papa. Produced by Project It Projects. Yung Rookie with Anima and Kumu. So, ayun, nod kayo sa Cinemalaya.
Fuck, I forgot to ask. Sorry, can I ask one more question?
go lang.
Kaya mo yan, Mark.
Spoiler alert! Don't listen if you haven't seen the movie.
Ano? I was just wondering, did you try to reach out to get the bio? I guess medyo, ano to, spoiler territory. But did you try to get Agamulak to return? And then also talk about, yeah.
Ooh, good question.
And Chin-Chin, Sister Chin-Chin, so nan. Why did you choose eventually Ryan Eigenman to play the role of Aga? Yeah, to put him in. So, yeah. That's my two-parter question.
Abangan nyo na lang sa season 2.
Yan ang showbiz answer. Take that, studio head.
You asked for it.
Baited, no?
Prompt ka ngayon. Wala kang sagot.
Pipilitang ka tuloy.
renew or ano? Wonder forever. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Salamat ulit. Congratulations.
Thank you.